right. I am turning down that music, but the pre-music before us was so rocky. We are dancing here in our awesome radio station, and I think this is the first Aging Well Together show we have done in the pouring rain. So we are having a party here in the station with our awesome guests, and the show hasn't even started yet. I always say I'm so excited, but today is going to be such a great show. I already have the mics on. You can hear giggling. Two of my wonderful friends and colleagues are here to tell us all about assisted living and memory care communities. I know this will be such a helpful show, as I get questions daily about this type of long-term care support. So I'm absolutely thrilled we have the lovely Kelly Kleinbaum from Terrabella Hillsborough here and Steve Fauché from Brookdale Chapel Hill. Friends, did I say your last names right? I'm so used to saying Steve and Kelly.
You nailed it.
Thank you. I am excited for all we are going to learn together. But before we dive into our show, as always, we want to give a shout out to WCOMLP, Chapel Hill Carborough, on 103.5 FM for this fabulous studio on this fabulously rainy day. And WCOM hosts our weekly Aging Well Together show. We would not be all together if it wasn't for the great Orange County Department on Aging, who is our sponsor and our founder, and we love the tremendously helpful team at the Orange County Department on Aging. As our longtime listeners know, and this is our 49th show.
49, 50.
Please join us. Each week we get together and we interview special guests to share information, resources, insights, and stories about the opportunities for aging well together. You can listen to us live every Thursday from 2 to 3. And thank you for those of you who are streaming us live if you don't live within a mile of the whatever our tiny signal strength is. So for those of you streaming us live, hello, WCOMFM.org is how you stream us live, or you can listen to any of our previous shows, which we turn into podcasts that are listed on the Orange County Department on Aging's website, which is, this is where we get out our pads of paper and pens, and you write down the very long www.orangecountync.gov/aging. That is the website to go to the Orange County, North Carolina's website. On the website, you can find links to our Aging Well Together radio show. Our past 48 shows are listed here. This one should be listed in the next 24 to 36 hours. You can also find a host of helpful resources all about services in Orange County, North Carolina. If you have questions about any of the resources we discuss on the show, or if you want to suggest a topic, I always say you can give a call to, though nobody has done this yet. People do the second option. People have not called, which I'm sure the Orange County staff appreciates.
When we move.
But I actually prefer email, which we're going to do in a second. But you can always call the main number, and do call if you have questions about resources in Orange County. That main number is 919-968-2070, where we are getting, and I got another one today, where we are getting suggestions of show topics is directly to our email, which is, you can email me at the really long email, agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com. All one thing, agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com. And many thanks. And for the person who I haven't responded to yet, I'll respond to you tonight to have you on. And a shout out, as always, to the Carborough Bass Band, the Robert Bradford Quartet, for allowing us to use their original song, Mayfly, but I saw them perform live recently, and they're oftentimes called RBQ, like when they came live into the studio, because Q can be quartet or quintet, and they brought a woman onto the band. I was very excited. So they are the Robert Bradford Quintet now. Mm-hmm. And we are so lucky that this great local Carborough band allows us to use their original music for our opening. You'll hear more about Mayfly with our closing music. And as always, my fabulous co-host, Alicia Reed, is back with us.
I am her Ed McMahon.
My Ed McMahon. Alicia is one of the engaging and inspiring and energetic wellness instructors at the Orange County Department on Aging. I have felt bad. You were with us last week, but the last few shows, we had so many guests that we kicked you off the mic.
I know. I'm going to bring my own mic. I do have one.
What's it called when you photobomb? You can,
that's
mic
right.
bomb.
I can mic bomb.
Though I do often mic bomb Alicia's show, which airs right after us. Afternoon Talk with Alicia starts at 3 o'clock. Yeah, you really can, and just randomly just start talking about anything as I do. Okay, so let me talk about me for a second because...
Gotta tell us.
How self-involved am I? All right, I'm Heather Altman. I couldn't even say my name. I'm Heather Altman. I didn't even pronounce it right. I get so many emails to Healther or Health Altman.
For
Healthier
real?
Altman or
How
Health
about
Altman.
Saying it really slow right now?
Heater. Altman. Well, that's what my Heather is. Heat her is how you spell it. Heather Altman. Anyway, I've spent over 25 years working in aging services and supports. I help older adults and their families connect with resources in our community and fun. Two of the communities that I connect the most with are my friends who are here on the other side of the microphone, so I'm excited for them in 1 minute to start. I'm a caregiver for older family members, and at 53, I like to share my age. I am focusing on my own changing needs, so I am super invested in how we are all aging well together. Okay, we have got to get into our show. We have wonderful guests, my good friends. These were colleagues of mine for the last few years, but I feel like in the last year... they have become some of my favorite people who I hang out with a lot. Oh, we're giving each other the hearts. We're hearting each other. We have Steve Fauché, the campus sales manager for Brookdale Chapel Hill. We have Kelly Kleinbaum. I almost did. You have two titles. Mm-hmm. She is the senior lifestyle counselor with, I love that. I never knew that was your senior lifestyle counselor. Sorry, Steve. I kind of like her title better. Senior lifestyle counselor with Terrabella Hillsboro. Both of them will explain what those communities are. But Kelly has another title. She is also president of the Chapel Hill and Durham Elder Resources Professional Group, otherwise lovingly known as CHADR. Mm-hmm. And she's going to tell us all about that. But first, welcome Kelly and Steve.
Thank you.
Yay. For having us. Thank you.
So excited. Thank you for braving the rain to come and join our fun show. So we're going to get all into senior living and what is assisted living and what's memory care in your communities. But first, as always, like to ask each of our guests, just take a few minutes, tell us where you're from, your background, how you got interested in aging, your zodiac sign, really, anything you want to share with
Let's
us.
Hide.
Who should go first? Kelly, you want to go first?
Sure. Ladies first. Well, I'm a Virgo. I'll start there. Thanks for asking.
I like that.
Your birthday's coming up.
It is. That's right. I'm excited. So
nice. Virgos are driven. I'm a Libra. I'm very chill. Okay, go on.
Oh, my God. You forget. Oh, my God.
Does that
everybody, my life is a Libra.
Okay.
I just fainted.
All right. Sorry, Kelly, go on. We're already interrupting. We've gotten in trouble for interrupting our guests too much. All right, Kelly.
I didn't know that, Taylor. I didn't know that.
Well, I have a background in hospitality. So I started out in hotel management and doing, all different things. I actually used to work here on Franklin Street. So I know all about this area. But then when COVID started, people weren't meeting anymore. So I got out of that and it was like, well, why do you want to work with seniors? And I said, I don't know that I do. And then I gave it a whirl.
We're being really honest here, honey.
Yes.
That's gotta be a crazy conversation.
Yes, might have happened with this gentleman here in the room.
Right.
So, then once I started working in senior living, I started off at independent living, and it was just a combination of everything that made my soul happy. So, learning everyone's stories, listening to people, and getting to do activities, and just helping was really, really great. So then I went into assisted living and memory care, and it's just been awesome.
Wow. I had no idea that you are newer to the field. It's been only a few years. Are you from North Carolina originally?
I'm actually from New Jersey originally.
That was my way of saying, I don't think you're from North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Me neither. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, Jersey.
I know, right? Who else is from there?
All right. Clearly that's Steve being sarcastic, because I think he is too.
Yes.
All right. Okay. So we're going to dive much more into your work with Terrabella and with CHADR. Mm-hmm. Steve, tell us about you.
All right. Well, I was born and raised in New Jersey. So I also started my career in the hospitality field, working in restaurants, being a manager. And when I came out to North Carolina about 8 years ago, applying for jobs. I got a random phone call. I don't remember applying for the job. And she was telling me about how rewarding senior living could be. And honestly, I was very nervous because I thought it was going to be a very boring job. And long story short, I took the job. I have not been bored yet.
I work with you all the time, and you never seem bored. In fact, people, you have how many phones you got in front of you right now? Constantly.
Yeah. Yes. I think we're supporting Verizon between us right now.
There's a lot of phones on the tables, listeners.
So I started off in operations. I was the general manager of independent living, and I did that for about 5 years. And then I made the turn over to sales.
To the dark side.
Yeah.
Oh. Not really. But. Well, this is so interesting because my pathway was just all in aging services and senior living. So the fact that you came from the hospitality route, I want to get into that in a little more. Mm-hmm. But and Steve is really fun because I've spent a lot of time, well, both of them, but every time we go on tours together and wherever my clients say they're from, Steve is like, so am I.
Is he like Visa? Every time.
Yeah, people are like, oh, well, I'm from California. And you're like, I used to live in California. What other states? Texas? I feel like every state, people are like, oh, I used to live there.
I'll go through the list. So okay. New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, North Dakota, Minnesota, Colorado, California, the D.C. area, Tennessee, so Nashville, and now I'm out here.
Visa, I've been everywhere.
I know, you're everywhere I want to be. It's actually really fun because I think all the different places you've lived, I've watched you with people, and both of you knowing you connect really well with individuals of all ages, the older adults in your communities or people touring. And it is hysterical that every time someone says, well, I'm originally from so-and-so, Steve's like, I used to live there.
Yeah. Yeah, some guy blew me off yesterday. He's like, oh, I'm from North Dakota. No one's been there. I was like, well, I've lived there.
Gosh. All right, we have so much to get into. All right. The two of you said something, and you're like, what did you say? We're gonna do some defining, because you said, both of you used to work in independent living, mm-hmm. and now you work in assisted living. So let's do a little definition time. Which of you wants to take that on? Steve will. He's raising his hand. Okay,
either way. So independent living, basically on paper, you're renting an apartment and providing usually 3 meals a day and housekeeping once a week. Mm-hmm. So legally, that is what they're obligated for. However, the better independent living places will have, you know, an in-home service there, so you could get some home care. And mm-hmm. because they're in the building, they don't have a four-hour minimum that most outsiders would. So it's a good stepping stone into the senior living world.
Can we ask questions?
Yeah.
Go for it. I warned them that. I said that's what Alicia does.
Who's in the room with that person? Is there a roommate? Or is there a microwave? Is there a refrigerator?
Every place is different. The place that we both worked at, yeah, they had their own little kitchenettes, but they lived by themselves unless they chose to have a roommate. And there it's usually going to be more of an apartment style. So you'll have a living room area as well as a bedroom area, and a lot of times
maybe
they come with
a kitchenette or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and some of the apartments
have their own kitchen, because I look at them a lot. Yeah, that's a big is it a kitchenette or is it a kitchen? Yeah.
Independent seems to have more of that like kitchen, like making it at your apartment, but you still get that sense of community.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they make it like a stepping stone from your home into a community.
And the person who checks on them comes daily, like 2 or 3 times a day?
No,
that's where independent living does get a little tricky. Okay. You have to set that up and pay.
I'm glad you're here with the show, Alicia. This is what we're going to talk about. Mm-hmm. And I'll jump in every once in a while, not to be rude, but since I'm in this world,
this is what we do.
Clients, I really have differentiated this year from a complete, like an apartment complex. There are apartment complexes that are 55 plus.
Yep.
Those are actually still different than when we call independent living.
Yes.
So there are age, I don't want to say restricted, I hate those terms. But anyway, there are 55 plus apartment complexes, and there's just good old fashioned apartment complex or subdivision, things like that. So that's put aside. Then there's independent living, where you do get, they do provide what I call a little bit of supportive services. And I think you said, 3 meals a day and some housekeeping, mm-hmm. maybe some social activities, maybe some transportation, a bus to shopping and things like that. But then it That's it.
Yeah. No one's absolutely coming into your room unless you've arranged something separate and are paying for that on your own.
It is independent living. Mm-hmm. As opposed to, drum roll please, what today's topic is all about. The two of you work at assisted living / memory care communities. Yes. Kelly, do you want to take on what's assisted living then?
Yeah. So there's the two different ones. Then you have the other step up, assisted living, where before you enter assisted living, that means that the staff there has done an assessment. They've talked to you about what your care needs are. There's responsibilities. We do, you know, answer to the state. It's regulated. There's certain things you can and cannot do. So you're going to have a lot more support. So that means you can get help with bathing, dressing. You know, you still have activities, the three meals a day, and people are checking on you. So you're not on your own.
Mm-hmm. And the assessment, this is where we start to hear these, you know, I'm saying this so that listeners get comfortable with our lingo, which is ADLs, activities of daily living. Mm-hmm. And so part of that assessment is looking at what, there's six of them, right? Eating, dressing, toileting, transferring.
Yeah, showering.
Showering and mobility something. Is that the other one? Okay.
Yeah.
Does assisted living, do you find that it mostly kicks in? I usually hear the number two, that normally you need at least two, some help, or it could be medication. It could be more that IADLs, the instrumental activities. Tell me here, I know we're geeking out, but talk a little bit about that, because that's sometimes when people trigger AL.
Yeah, that seems to be what most people do. However, I mean, even at my community, and I believe Kelly's, we do have some people who are just there for the easier lifestyle, and they get zero support from the staff, just knowing they're there if something happens. And when they age down the road, they don't have to worry about, you know, packing everything up yet again and moving. So a lot of people find different reasons to live in one of these places. And yeah, I mean, you really get out of it what you would like.
I loved that, where I used to work, people, I would see those residents. I was at a community with all different levels. And the residents that would proactively move, and we had a friend, a mutual friend, Kelly and I, who proactively moved into assisted living. And I love that. And since we were geeking out, for those who, there's activities of daily living, and then there's that instrumental, the IADLs, and those are things like medication reminders, cooking, cleaning, those other sort of higher tasks.
It helps with making that decision, like being able to have prompting and moving forward.
Yeah, and sometimes even if you don't need intensive help, but just having those three meals a day, and that's where, Alicia, right, you have someone coming in and checking on you, right?
Yeah, it kind of, I talk about it as the things in life you just get tired of doing will take on for you, and then the rest of your day is there to enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm there now. Yeah. My husband would totally agree.
You can't be tired of cooking.
I live, I am.
And cooking.
Basically, my husband has created an assisted living for me, cooking and cleaning, and then, you know, my kids help me move around. So assisted living, so in terms of helping people define when do they need assisted living, how do you help, you know, I think it's a little bit about what you said, but when someone said, well, do I need it yet?
One of the things I say, too, to piggyback on that is, you know, assisted living, we're here to assist you with being as independent as you would like. So we assist you with those things that are harder, but we still encourage you to, you know, maintain your independence. So just kind of like how you alluded to, you know, there are people, and I love that when people are actively involved in making the decision, they're doing it proactively. I feel like it's empowering, too, you know, not taking the decision away from you. And it's, you know, some people feel like, oh, you know, you're giving me that, like, sales twist your arm pitch. And it's like, sometimes it's better to make that decision now before you're in crisis mode, before something happens. You know, this way you kind of can get that control. But at the same time, we work with people that are coming to us from a rehab situation, you know, and they need a higher level of care. So, you know,
That's a great point. And this has come up recently in some of my conversations about short-term / sometimes respite versus long-term. Because do you have people that, literally, I'm working with the two people this week that I've been talking to that are literally coming from rehab and they just can't go home yet, but they don't need that skilled nursing level. And we'll describe that, differentiate that in a second. But they're just
so
still
many
not,
terms.
So many terms. That's what we do a lot on Aging Right Together. So can people come and live short-term?
Yeah, I think every community is different. I know that some places can offer respite stays. you know, for other communities, like if you don't really have the space to do those things, we encourage people to stay for at least 30 days or a month or so, but it's only ever a 2-week move-out notice, essentially, in assisted living. So, yeah, some people come in just for, hey, I just need to be here for a couple months while I get my strength up, whereas other people live there for 10 years. Mm-hmm. You know, it just depends.
And then talk about whichever of you would like, there's a type of assisted living called memory care, and this is where I also see a lot of confusion. How do you define what, because it's still under, and this has been my world for, gosh, longer than both of yours, but like, this is where I do geek out on the regulations and the licensure, but and people get confused because they think memory care is part of skilled nursing, but it's actually not. It's part of the assisted living / adult care home licensure. Yes. Talk about what's memory care.
Memory care is, like you said, it on paper is very similar to assisted living. I believe it's almost exactly the same, but they do secure the door, meaning you can't come and go as you see fit. Mm-hmm. That's something that a family member or someone on your behalf would have to sign you out to leave. Besides that, it follows the same structure as assisted living. Normally, they are staffed a little heavier.
I was going to say, tell us about staffing ratio.
Yes.
Yeah, so you will get more support in a memory care. The ratio between residents and caregivers will be a lot higher in one of those buildings. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, like in my assisted living, for instance, you can have your own shower and, you know, go about your day, where in my memory care, we don't have showers in the rooms because we're going to assist in one way or another. Mm-hmm. And we have different levels we can assist, because just like Kelly said, with assisted living, we do want them to keep their independency, and anything they can do for themselves, we're going to encourage them to continually do. However, when there comes a time they need a little support or they need us to take over the task, we're there and we're equipped to do so. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the biggest thing I think between assisted living, memory care, and, you know, the next level up, which would be skilled nursing, is, you know, assisted living and memory care are a place that you go to continue to live. You continue to have experiences. You know, you're just there for a little support, where skilled nursing would be more of a hospital setting, that they're there really to meet your medical needs. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, there's not much in addition to that.
I'm glad you brought up skilled nursing. So skilled nursing, sometimes it's called SNF or SNF, you might see it. That's what's traditionally thought of a nursing home. I know I see people confuse nursing home with assist, and then everyone's laughing
right.
at that. Like, yeah.
Yes.
So how do you help with that? I mean, Steve, you just did a good description, but do you still, that's what we were going to talk about, myths at some point. Do you still see that, I'm sure, every single day, that people think assisted living is a nursing home? And it's not.
Right. And I think also it depends on the age of the person. Like if it's the younger adult children, but if it's the resident, they might have that notion of like, oh, my mother was in a home, you know, and that's what this is. Like, that's the only image. So I think, you know, people will say, oh, this facility, and you say, it's a community. Mm-hmm. You know, it is different. Mm-hmm. Skilled nursing facility versus assisted living memory care community. So it's more residential, but people come in all the time thinking like, ooh, you know, they're like, oh, can I leave when I want to? You know, with assisted living, like, okay, well, the door's locked for safety, but there's a doorbell. You can go about your business. You have resident rights, so you have the right to say no. Mm-hmm. You know, we can ask you again, but, you know, we have to maintain your dignity and things of that nature, too.
You know, I keep saying I geeked out, but I have not geeked out in a while around when assisted living as a model was created, because you were just saying with some of your older clients, residents, people who are interested, assisted living feels to be like a phenomena that's really just exploded in the past 20 to 30 years. And I think that's why. I think before it really was like nursing homes or just family care. I think this concept of a more luxury or home-like assisted living has really just blown up and it's newer.
Yeah, I think the community living, as far as assisted living goes, I mean, it goes back a little over 50 years. And, you know, I believe Brookdale was the one that kind of came up with that model. And they were the first ones to start developing it. But, yes, it's grown in popularity over the last about 15, even 20 years.
Everyone's getting ready for the silver tsunami with all of those baby boomers.
There's another term.
It's, I know, there's another one.
Silver tsunami.
I've been wondering if it's... I'm getting so many calls. And, Steve, you and I talked about it the other day. I'm like, what is happening? There's so much. Is this it? Like, are we just getting... I mean, every day, multiple times a day, we're getting calls. Both of... like. People are just like, help.
And I've also seen, and I've talked about it with a lot of other people, an uptick in men moving in.
Yes.
Senior living as a whole is very lady heavy. Mm-hmm. You outlive us, you know. but yeah, even these last few months, I mean, we've grown a lot of men in my community. And
me
a
too.
Lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Same with me, with my clients. And so I've really started asking, and you will tell me, what is the percentage of women versus men versus couples, even in your community?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about percent, because things are always in flux too, right? And they change.
I often feel like it's around 75 to 25 or 70 to 30, but I don't know. What do you...
I mean, I would guess if we were talking about even 6 months ago, I would say about 10% men.
I was going to say 10%.
Wow.
Yeah. Right now, I mean, my building is over 20% men.
Yeah,
and that's in the last 6 months.
Yeah, and it's also, I feel like, you know, when you move into a community and you see other people, like, accepting the help, like, you know, you get that strong, proud. I know I'm just kind of generalizing with people, but...
Yeah, I know, it's okay.
You know?
Stereotypes. Welcome here at the Aging Out Together show.
But, you know, you're a very strong, proud person, and you see someone else accepting help, and then you can be there and you have a more comfortable setting. I think people are also more open to saying, you know, hey, it's like, you know, I don't want to be alone in my apartment anymore, you know, or it'd be nice to be with someone else, so... That's kind of a lot of what I'm hearing as well.
I've been thinking about this a lot lately, and I think there's, you know, one of the reasons men are living a lot longer than they used to. So, right, is that's like, I think that's the main issue. And then the correlation to that is, like, when men need help, it's harder for their partners or family members, others, to provide. I have a number of wives who are like, I physically...
Yes.
My husband's a big man, and I cannot give him the physical assistance that he's needing. So.
Just had that this morning, too. And I'm like, you know, you won't be able to help anyone if you hurt yourself taking care of of your husband.
Steve, you were just about to say something. We were talking about men.
and you're outnumbered.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, this is a good... Yeah.
This is a representation of the community.
It really is.
Yeah, this is senior living. No, I was going to say, too, that I think that, you know, as time goes on, that the stigma around being lonely, about asking for mental health services is becoming less. Mm-hmm. And I think that was very hard for the men community to accept living, you know, in a community with a bunch of ladies and, you know, going to watch some live music or play the bingo game.
Yeah. Do you think it's because we're getting close to the bottom of the boomers, and you know that we're breaking it down now? This is the bottom of the boomers.
I was literally gonna go there. I think that has a big thing to do with it, you know, as everything starts shifting, the newer generation of seniors, I think they're more open to this kind of lifestyle. They know they need people around. They know, hey, it's okay if I need a little bit of help, and it's better sometimes to get it from a caregiver than a family member and let the family member stay your family member, and let's have a professional come in.
Let your family member help you enjoy life, and you enjoy your, I was talking to a couple, enjoy your relationship together as opposed to being each other's physical caregivers.
Exactly.
And that could break someone down right there, is, you know, when a wife comes in and caring for the husband or one way or another, it's like, when's the last time you've had quality time?
Yeah, just sitting.
Like, and they're like, well, I spend every day with them. That wasn't my question.
Yeah, providing those, the more physical as opposed to sort of bonding. So I want to talk a little bit about the memory care and assisted living, and then the big umbrella issue of dementia. Because I think another question is, well, if there's cognitive change, brain change, dementia, whether it's Alzheimer's or one of the others. When is it assisted living? When is it memory care? Because I also see a confusion that people say, oh, well, if someone has dementia, they automatically have to go to memory care. So I know we all talk about this yes. with our clients, but mm-hmm. tell our listeners about how you differentiate those two levels.
Break it
this
down.
This is the daily question, right? Yeah. Which way do I go? I will also say, too, so our Tarabella in Raleigh, Northridge has a transitional memory care. So that even opens like the whole new
situation. Oh, I heard
situation.
About that. I haven't been there. What yes. does that mean?
That is, you know, for some people that are still mobile and active and you have memory loss, it's a secured unit. However, you are still... I just kind of jumped right into like confusing everyone, but yeah. it's, you know, they're still providing assisted living. However, it's a secured unit, but it's not quite memory care. Okay. So something I would say too about the differences, right, between assisted living and memory care. Yes, it's a secured unit. The staffing ratio is different, but the programming, I think, is also a really big difference.
Yes, I've seen that too.
So I think the programming, you know, in, you know, general for memory care is going to be more geared towards, you know, brain games, trying to keep engagement, more prompting. So even though, and I'll let you jump in too, but even though your loved one, you know, has some memory loss, as some dementia or brain change, you know, it's not necessarily one or the other or clean mm-hmm. cut is what I find.
People don't know. That's why, I don't know, I'll bring folks to you and it's like, I mean, folks generally
we don't know either.
Want yeah. assisted living, but...
Yeah, everybody wants that. I know we have to say that the, you know, it's your primary care provider's decision to, like, they have to check off and sign off that they feel like that you would be safe to live in a non-secured environment. I think mm-hmm. that's, like, the number one situation. Do you feel like your loved one is going to potentially get confused and exit seek or wander and get into a dangerous situation? That's, like, the number one situation.
Yeah. I kind of like the way my nurse looks at everything. When she does an evaluation, and, yes, it's questionable, they may be able to live comfortably in one building or both buildings. She always asks, you know, where are they going to benefit from living with us? Which right. building is going to suit their needs better, the memory care or the assisted living? Mm-hmm. So, and sometimes it really becomes a guessing game because, you know, over a 30-minute assessment from any nurse, right. you don't know everything about yes. a person. You can't walk away with that. The doctor, you know, has a lot of medical information, but a lot of times it comes down to the activities.
Yeah, I was just thinking, when I think about this question of assisted living versus memory care, I think in two different pathways, the environment itself and the programming.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The environment, and this is where, hello, litigious society, and hello, you know, all kinds of things. And I worked in a place that did not have a separated and memory care, so it's still a newer world for me. But is that concern about, and we need a better term from wandering, people aren't wandering, they're exploring, but yes, it's, the official term is if it gets checked off that they're wandering, exit seeking, the mm-hmm. issue that if someone leaves the facility and ends up being, or community, and ends up being on a street somewhere and it's unsafe for them, and then the family gets angry and everyone sues and it's against regulation. That's where this issue of a secured building comes in.
Yes, and
they are
wondering for
that.
The wrong reasons, too. If they know, hey, I want to go out to my car is over there, you see them walking through the parking lot, that's not wondering.
Yeah,
but
that's...
if they're going to, you know, their beach house and they're in the middle of, you know, Colorado,
yes,
that's wondering.
Yes, and that's where it becomes... it's that weird balance between independence and safety.
Yes.
And we see
mm-hmm.
that. So memory care, so that's one of the big issues. So that I kind of put under the environment. But then the programming, because you were starting to talk about, mm-hmm. I always think about it as like more therapeutic, more modified programming to really meet people where they are. Steve, you did a really nice job explaining to a few clients, you've explained, is it the baking cookies or something example? I'm trying to remember what it was.
Yes. So we...
Okay, whose phone's going off? There's
four
phones.
Definitely not mine.
Which of your clients
definitely
are calling us right now?
Definitely not mine.
It's totally his listeners.
Yes.
He's playing with it right
yes.
now.
Yes. That's cute.
So I loved...
Baking cookies.
I loved how you used that. Or I think it was that example.
Yeah. We were actually baking a pie the other day. Yeah, same thing. We do a lot of baking. Where you can have a large group. So my memory care is a larger.
Yeah, it's one of the biggest ones. How many people are in it?
We have 32 rooms. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so When we do activities, and we are all about our activities, as you've seen, so when we do something large like baking a pie, we're going to include as many residents as possible. Everybody's going to benefit from something like that. So, but not everyone can handle the same task. You know, the further along you are in your dementia journey, you know, steps in a process can become way too confusing and overwhelming. So my community does have people at the beginning, middle, end stages of dementia. And when we're doing something large, when you walk by and look through the window, it's, oh, everybody's in there making a pie. But what's really happened is they are grouped together, where one group may have a two-step process to bake in the pie, and it's a little more complex, and the next table over may only have a simple task, and the one at the end may really be doing just something very simple and a repetitive task. And when you look at it, everyone's included, everyone's making this pie, everyone's enjoying themselves, but it's also geared to their cognitive abilities. So
I love that.
Meeting people where they are.
Exactly.
And we've had twice on the show, we've had Teepa Snow and her team from Positive Approach to Care. And I mentioned that these are our local experts in teaching about brain change and approaches. And I know, Steve, you and your team, Kelly, have gone through some of the trainings with Teepa Snow. And so that real thoughtfulness on creating meaning and engagement.
There's not enough people doing what they're doing. They're all about education, training, and I'll be honest, actually at one of their classes, they said something that really opened up my eyes, is a CNA gets, I think, 30...
Certified Nursing Assistant.
Exactly. gets 39 hours of training, and I think in North Carolina, it's actually 40 is required, where a nail tech gets, what was it, like 200 and some odd hours?
I've seen those, and like vet techs even more. Yeah, it's crazy, the minimal amount. And it really is an expertise.
And I just think we're like big senior living nerds. Like, we just love all the resources.
We all are. Alicia, are you prepared to be with us geeking out right now?
We love all the resources.
Hey, I'm an ombudsman, remember?
Oh, that's right. So all four of us are really geeking out on it.
Anytime.
So people will come to you, and then it's sort of it's an assessment process. It's to decide whether it's assisted living, memory care. One of the issues that Well, there's a few issues I want to talk about. I want to talk about staff types, and I also want to talk about pricing. One of the reasons that I see people would like assisted living versus memory care is memory care, because it is, there's more staffing, it's a different environment, is a good deal more expensive, I have found. Talk to us a little bit, scare our listeners a little bit about the prices. That's another thing that I hate being the bearer of bad news, so I'm going to let you two do it, about how expensive this all is, because it's expensive.
Yeah, and I mean, everywhere you go is going to be different, too. So, you know, you find experts that can help you to navigate all of the different options.
That would be me. She was referring to me.
I was name dropping.
I don't usually share that too much on the radio show, but listeners.
Yes, or all of the people that have been on your show have been like great resources too. But I would say, you know, add up what is your home mortgage or your rent and how much you spend on groceries, and have you seen how expensive cereal is now, and like the sodas and everything.
And when your roof and your heating goes out, all of it.
Maintenance, everything like that. So all of your normal expenses, but then also think about, you know, the staffing, right? So we have to pay staffing and cost of living and lots of overhead. I mean, you were an operator, so you can answer all
questions.
It is very expensive.
And not all places take and accept special assistance. So there's things like that.
And most don't in our area. I mean, I did make a list, but it's rare in our, I mean, we have a few, but most, this is a private pay or long-term care insurance, which is still, I still put under the private world.
And our rates are really high in this area because are so close to UNC, Duke. You know, we have some of the best health care in the nation all right here. Senior living's going to be more expensive.
Yeah, talk about New Jersey before, when I was talking to folks that are coming from New Jersey and New York and Massachusetts, and we want to say, oh, you're coming down south, it'll be a little bit cheaper. But, you know, a lot of times our costs literally in the triangle. Now there are parts of North Carolina where it's different. So give us a range that that you would normally say are, this is a typical assisted living range, given there's a lot of caveats, and explain it, and then memory care.
Yeah, I mean,
I know it's a big range.
I don't know. We'll
take it away,
say
Kelly.
Different things. Thanks. I'll be the bad one.
I know what I would say, but let's see what you say.
I guess I would say, you know, for assisted living, you have to think too. There's going to be a base rate, and then there's going to be, you know, care costs. So if we're talking base rate, I'd say around $5,000 on average a month is going to be kind of where we're at for private.
I do a range like 4 to 7.
Okay,
depends. I don't know. Okay.
Yeah, it really depends on the size and the space and things like that. Typically, you're going to furnish it yourself. But yeah, 4 to 7 sounds good. And then with the care, it could be anywhere from like $500.
In addition to that
4 to 7.
I just want to know. In addition.
Yeah, in addition, it would be anywhere from about $500 to, what's the care cap? Like 25?
Your care cap is high.
Yeah, 4,000.
Okay, so.
Yeah, 0 to 4,000 is what it could be in my building. And, you know, just to be clear, the 4,000 is for somebody who needs us to take over every task for them.
Think, you know, more hands-on assistance versus more standby assistance. So not every, and also the numbers don't always go up. So if you come and you have a higher care level in the beginning, but you are coming from a place where you're going to be getting stronger, your care needs are going to change, things don't always go up. But also there's annual increases in buildings too.
So. Every place has them.
Yes.
I know. I've been asking, and it's not always like annual for you 12 months after. Sometimes I've seen if you sign up, if you join on in July or August, but it's going to go up in January or October or something, right?
Well,
like,
most of the good places will prorate, you know, in the middle of the year.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so, you know, if the increase is 8%, you might only get 4 if you moved in, you know, halfway through the year.
Is that going to happen? Or
yes.
It's going to happen.
Yes.
100% every place is going to increase. Just like an apartment. You know, they do increase your rent every month or every year.
So it'll be slight. So is it fair to say when I work with my clients, when I talk about assisted living, I talk about that base rate plus care, you're probably looking at the 5 to 8 range. Is that fair? Maybe a little bit more, a little less, depending on.
Yeah, but I also warn people I talk to is, you know, 2 years ago when the economy went really crazy and the price of everything went up.
Yes.
Of course, that really affected ours. And I believe I saw an article out there that senior living as a whole that year was on the verge of close to 20% of an increase.
It was even higher. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
crazy. So, yeah, and that's where all of us work together to figure out, well, where's going to be the right place, and we'll talk about the larger network in a few minutes. But, yeah, so those are kind of the numbers. And then, so again, and then a lot's included with that. You get your meals, your housekeeping, so a lot's in that, but
laundry,
it has the care.
Laundry, activities, transportation.
Yes. So you can't compare it with. If you compare it to living at home, you have to compare it to living at home with all of those services being provided from home care.
Yes, and your utilities and your all that stuff.
If you're bringing a caregiver at home, you know, if you only need help for a few hours a day, well, then maybe that's $3,000 to $5,000 a month. But when you start needing, there's this line, like if you start needing more than 7 to 8 hours of support a day, then it flips and it's less expensive to be in assisted living and bring it home.
And you don't have to guess when you're going to need the help. You just have help around you and you're not living one-on-one. I always feel like some people feel like that's like a babysitter type, like, ooh, just me and this person, but then you have a community.
Yeah, and then all that social engagement. So while we're talking money, let's just rip the Band-Aid off. Let's talk about memory care, unless Steve, you're about to say something else.
Is that different?
I would definitely like to jump into Medicaid and some myths. Because
let us jump into it. Please.
Yeah, if we're talking about costs, I run across, and this is where, you know, working with an advisor like Heather or somebody who does something similar is very helpful, because a lot of people think, oh, well, I got X amount of money and I could last for a few years and I'll move in and then we'll go to Medicare.
I got that.
Or Medicaid.
Medicaid. 3 times last week. And then, you know, Medicaid will take over. I'm like,
No.
But
that's what the average person thinks, though.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And that, number one, you need to speak to a Medicaid expert 100% of the time. But there are different criteria for assisted living and memory care and skilled nursing. And skilled nursing is, just to generalize, you know, some information, they will, if you run out of money, most of the time you will be able to hand over your Social Security, your pension, and switch to Medicaid and lived in skilled nursing. Okay. Mm-hmm. But as we discussed earlier, you know, that's just a place to go to meet your medical needs, not keep living. So mm-hmm. assisted living and memory care have a very low threshold. I mean, I don't want to quote a
low
number.
Low threshold
but
meaning what?
Meaning if you make over like $1,300, you're not going to qualify.
Oh, yeah.
Qualify.
It's very hard to qualify. Yeah, I hear. And listeners, I think it's August 8th. We have an attorney coming on the show who specializes in helping understand Medicaid and spend down. I've been trying to find... we have financial advisors coming next week, but they're not as knowledgeable about Medicaid because I've been trying to find someone to come on, and that's going to be August 8th show. Just because this assumption that Medicaid will kick in.
Exactly. Right. That is a big thing people do think.
It's normal. Everybody mm-hmm. would think that.
Mm-hmm. But I always say, too, if you just openly with the private pay community tell us, well, this is how much and this is when I think my funds will run out. If you give like more notice, then we can help connect you with some of those professionals or the ones that we have in our network so that they can talk with you about, okay, your individual situation and what's the next mm-hmm. step.
Yes, I have a list of those communities that will allow spend down because mm-hmm. even if someone does spend down, even if they are accepted into Medicaid, it doesn't mean communities will accept it. Right. And I love both of your communities so much, but the two specific communities that you are at do not take Medicaid spend down. Mm-hmm. Other Brookdales do, looking at. And does another Tarabella? No.
And I can transfer you there.
You can transfer you to another.
But yes, you will be making another move.
Mm-hmm. And then there are some communities, I do keep the list of, that are Medicaid now. So you mm-hmm. don't have to spend. Like some communities, literally, they want you to private pay for 18 months to 2 years. And then there are other communities, communities in our community. That's mm-hmm. a random sentence.
I tell people
that you can take Medicaid. Yeah. You can just go in right now with Medicaid at any time.
Yeah.
And I toured one. It was not bad last week.
So, yeah, we can have probably 4 shows on that topic, but definitely do your homework.
Yes.
And work with transition.
When you say do your homework,
talk to a professional.
But it doesn't come up until it comes up.
Mm-hmm. That is true. I mean,
you don't get to do your homework.
We deal with people who do look ahead. And that is great to do, but I mean...
Is there a large percentage?
No.
No. Or people who are in it right now, and so they're looking at their savings. So they're both reacting in that they need care right now, but they're trying to figure out, okay, do I have a year's worth? Do I have 2 years? Do I have 3 years? I was working with a client the other day who thought they had 2 years, and they met with a financial plan. They're like, okay, we have 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if that... They said, I'm not sure if... They're still going to be with us in 4 years. But it was like this, how long can we go till this Medicaid issue might even be? Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not something that can be easily figured out. So that's where you get your financial planners and your attorney. It's usually attorneys that, or if anything, this is called Orange County Department on Aging.
That's what I was saying.
There you go.
That's what I suggest.
Yep.
I need the aging helpline, which is right around here, but instead I'll just the general number.
I have a magnet on my refrigerator.
Yes, I know, so do I, but I'll give the general number.
Magnets everywhere.
I know, where'd our magnet go? But it's 919-968-2070 for the general Orange County number, and then they'll get you over to Aging Transitions to their social work team, and they also have one of the social workers is co-located with the Department of Social Services.
Yes.
So anyway. Okay, so let's just rip the Band-Aid off, which we still haven't done
in
our few minutes, about memory care costs, because we were kind of talking about that 5 to 8, 5 to 9 range.
Mm-hmm.
Once you're in memory care with more staffing and more support,
I'm going to say anywhere from like 6,000 to about what, 12,000?
14.
Yeah, 16.
Some other places, yes.
And 6,000 is really hard. I see that if you're willing to take a semi-private room.
That's what I would say. If it's a shared room, if you don't have as many.
I say more 9
to 13. That's like a one-star community, usually.
In your communities, I thought it's more like 9 to 13.
Yeah.
Is that fair?
Very fair.
Okay.
I didn't want to scare everyone that much, so I tried to...
Well, but you know what? I'd rather do it now so people start to think about it than... Because what really scares them is when they're in the immediate crisis, and then they're like,
the need is there.
Let's just be honest with it. It's kind of like...
Yeah.
You know, my kids are in college, your kids are younger, right? Or do you have one in college? Somebody has one, or older, that basically... college is expensive. Like, just know where they are. Public schools, private schools, what kind of numbers, just like...
Yes.
Okay. However, there's well, that's a whole other tangent. There's more support to pay for college than there is to pay for memory care and things like that.
Oh, yeah.
So a few more questions because we have a little shy of 10 minutes left. Really quickly, tell us about the type. You've mentioned it a tiny bit. When you're in assisted living or visiting, what are the type of staff members you're going to see? I've heard you mention nurse. I've heard you mention CNA. Talk about
that. Like on the actual staff itself, PCA, personal care assistant, CNA, med techs or medication
technician.
Then there's going to be like there might be like a resident care coordinator who's overseeing that staff. There might be a director of health and wellness who's also could be an RN. And then you're going to have the basic, you know, other staffing like your chef, your business office manager, sales, an executive director is that overarching, you know, support for the community itself. But those are great questions to ask when you're going to communities, just to say, who will my loved one be interacting with each day?
And who are the staff and how many? That's where, you know, you'd really do want to know staffing ratios or things like that and meet them. Anything else about the staff before we start doing rapid fire other questions?
A good question to ask a place is when's the last time you used agency?
Yes.
And there's another term. So that's basically temp service for caregivers because if you fall below a certain number with state regs, I mean, that is, yeah, you could get into a lot of trouble. So they will essentially rent workers who are not invested in the community. Some of them are good, do not get me wrong, but the majority of the time, they'll be there for a week to a month, and then they're on their way. So
that's a great point. It goes into what I'm calling somewhat rapid-fire questions. So because these are regulated communities, so we put that out. We won't geek out on that too much, but these are the state regulates your communities. You have a series of issues. You were starting to talk about questions to ask. So I wanted you to talk about, because you both are the face of your community, senior lifestyle coordinator, what campus manager. Who is it that you interact with most? And then what are the questions they're asking and what are the questions they should be asking? Because that's really helpful.
I think it's great when there's a scout that comes out. Like I always call them, like, you're the scout, you know. It's the first person that comes. You don't necessarily
I call it doing recon.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's a great time to like get all your questions out there. If you have any fear, we're not trying to lie to our loved ones or the resident that's coming in. But like if there's something uncomfortable you want to talk about without them there, that let's do that. And then when they come in to visit, let's make it all about them. Let's talk with them. Let's answer their questions. So
who's generally the scout that you're finding comes in?
It's like your power of attorney. It could be your child. It could be a neighbor. It could be a friend. I think a lot of times it's your children or your spouse.
Or your spouse. That's what I see a lot. Yeah. And questions they're asking or questions you think people should be asking that aren't?
If I was looking for a place for my parents, what I would do, to be quite honest with you, besides sign up with somebody to help me who knows the industry.
Listeners, he was pointing to me. I almost never do call outs for my work, but since you were pointing to me.
But I think it really has helped a lot of people out having somebody who you work for the client, you know, I work for the facility, so or the community.
This will shock no one. I ask a lot of questions. All right. I try to let my clients ask questions, but then we had a fun thing. What my client means to be asking you. And he was laughing. My client was like, that's a great question I'm asking.
This is overwhelming. We've already said like every term and there's so many. So it's overwhelming. So to have someone to guide you through that process is great. And that's kind of what the both of us try to do as well. And then, you know, with the staff that comes in, I wanted to also say there's the staff for the building, but then we are open to the community for people like home health or hospice, palliative care can come in, PT, OT.
Yeah, physical therapy. That's what I see a lot. Yeah, physical therapy. And that's what I love. People can kind of layer on and actually bring skilled care in because you're bringing in physical therapy, occupational therapy, speech therapy, home health can be brought in. Doctors, I know you both contract with doctor's offices.
Right.
So you really can turn... It's a whole other story, right? Hospitals have become ICUs, nursing homes have become hospitals, assisted livings have become, can really become nursing homes to a certain extent in terms of bringing in more skilled support, even though you're that. Yeah, okay, go on. Other questions?
My big thing is I would walk into a place. I would not make an appointment. I would walk in, see what I see. I wouldn't be afraid to do it over the weekend. I know a lot of people will argue me on this point, but you know, I mean, a salesperson can't roll out a red carpet for you if they didn't know you were coming.
That's correct.
Let's see what it's like after mom lives there or dad lives there, what it's going to be like. Can't hide anything. So yeah. I love when people just pop in.
Visit at different times of day.
And I have seen you do that. I've heard you say that to many people, and you really, you live by that, because I've had clients and they just show up at any time, and they're like, Steve really was fine with, like, just showed up and
come on the weekends. I mean, I think you got to realize this is a Monday through Friday gig for a lot of the workers. Come on the weekend. See what your folks will be experiencing on a Saturday or a Sunday. You know, and granted, it's never going to be as lively as it is during the week, but it will give you a good sense of how the community is. And, you know, a lot of people come in and ask me questions about my nurse, about my clinical staff. And quite honestly, that is very important. Don't get me wrong. But the questions I see they don't ask are really about the activities, about the lifestyle. What's the experience they're going to have?
How are they going to spend? And it's funny, we didn't get a chance. That was my question for you. We can't answer it now with time, but asking, how will my loved ones spend their day? Or how will I spend my day?
Or I like to ask people to, like, be open and upfront about your expectations. Something that's working for you in your home, if you can share that with us, we can let you know if that's something that we can continue. You know, ask about the transition from wherever you are now into the community and what kind of support that's going to look like. Like, what does onboarding do? Because I will say, you know, the first 2 weeks you're going to be up and down and say, what did I do? Did I make a mistake? You know, but you have to accept that there's going to be good days and bad days. We just want you to share with us how you're feeling, what else we can do so that we can find that happy medium place in things.
Well, and another, I'm just trying to remember all the important points with our 2 minutes left, and then we'll keep one more for the. So the other thing, I'm rambling, is size. Steve, you have taught me, and I saw this, Kelly, when I was at yours, people, because they're coming from their homes, get over, keep thinking about square footage and think bigger is better.
Yeah.
And you both have taught me that is not true.
Less is more with senior living. Less to worry about, easier to encourage someone to leave their room and participate in the rest of the community. Even if it's watching TV in a group setting is way better than watching TV alone in your room. So many people want it like home, and square footage is extremely expensive in senior living. Don't be afraid to start off small. And if something doesn't work out, you can transfer to other rooms. Any community, you know, if you want a larger room down the road, but more often than not, people start out large with me, and then they come back and ask for a smaller room.
Because there's, it's the entire community is, I used to say, is their living room.
Yes. That's your bedroom.
Yeah, your bedroom is where you lay your head, and the rest of the community is where you live your life. Right. That's your living room.
So I know we have literally 1 minute left, but the thing we haven't been able to talk about, but it's actually kind of a fun way to end, is our friendship and our professional community.
Yes.
Tell us about, I know we didn't get to talk about Chatter.
But in 30 seconds, go.
But in 30 seconds, like, what is Chatter? Because today's kind of an example of it in a weird way.
Yes,
but
we are chattering, but Chatter is more than just chatter. so it's really just like Orange County in general, like Chapel Hill, Hillsborough, Durham. Like, we have great resources. We really like to be connective. I don't feel like we're in competition while we're both of us here work at different communities. It's really about what is the best thing for your loved one and your person. If a community doesn't work with you, people that come to Chatter are going to have in-home care agencies. They're going to be PT people. They might be elder care resources. All the people that come on your show or the people that frequent the senior center. It's just this beautiful community where we're trying to support people, and you say, oh, like, this is happening, and then you're like, oh, I have these resources. So that's kind of how we've met too, I think, and just been able to have this beautiful interconnected situation.
It really is a bit of a senior living love fest. Like, there's very little, I'm sure there's competition, but everyone, we at the end of the day, we want older adults and their loved ones to be in the right place, right? And have the right fit. You talked about that.
Our biggest competitor is that house that they just won't leave. Right. It's not each other.
Right. Yeah.
Beautifully said.
Yeah, because one, good. You might thrive in a big environment, or you might need a small environment. Everybody's environment, you know, it's about what's going to work best for you.
And it requires community.
Yes.
Well, I hate that I have to cut us off, but we've already gone late. I cannot.
Has it been an hour?
It's been 58 minutes. So we got a Steve Fouché from Brookdale, Chapel Hill, and Kelly Kleinbaum. From Tarabella, Hillsboro, and from Chatter, I cannot thank you enough, not just for coming on the show, but really, I am with you both. I'm going to be with Kelly tomorrow. I was with Steve the other day.
Yep.
The amount of support you give to the older adult community, the caregiver community in Orange County, in the surrounding area, is just stupendous, and I feel very lucky you are my friends, and I'm very lucky you're on the show. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
Right
Alicia,
back at you.
Thank you.
Thank you for
and
the resources.
Listeners, wonderful. Yes, thank you. Thank you, WCOM, LPFM, Chapel Hill Carborough, and Orange County Department on Aging, and we will talk next week.